Lately, I've been thinking a lot about a sort of cream-colored Chrysler 300. And it's even turned up in some of my journal entries and even popped up in a dream. And it's not because that's my dream car by any means. It's not because a Chrysler 300 cut me off in traffic and I'm plotting my revenge. This Chrysler 300 tends to come up in my mind whenever I begin to question my motives, whenever I begin to question myself. And that's happened a lot lately. One day I was pulling into the store, I was running in there before you had to put a mask on to go into the store. But it wasn't that long ago when I pulled up and I parked next to this cream-colored Chrysler 300. And as I began to walk into the store, what I assumed to be a couple started to meet me in the middle in the parking lot. And as I came into earshot, I could hear their conversation. And this man was saying some of the most horrible things that I've ever heard a human say. And I realized as I got closer and the woman dropped her head to look at the ground that he was saying it at her, not to her. And when we crossed paths, I realized he was describing her in just a horrible, horrible way. And I turned around, but instead of making eye contact, I just looked at the back of his head. And without saying anything, I just let them get into this cream-colored Chrysler 300. And I knew in the pit of my stomach, I knew inside of me that I should have said something. And you may be saying to yourself right now, Austin, that was none of your business. You had no reason to say anything to him. And that's what I told myself at the time. But I knew that part of me was betraying itself by not saying something to him about the way that he was behaving, the way that he was treating this woman. And I think about that a lot. I wonder what it was that caused me not to say something. If you know me, you know that I don't typically have a problem saying something, especially when I feel like somebody's being taken advantage of. But that day, I stayed very quiet. And I went into the store, and I came back out, and I got in my vehicle just in time to see this cream-colored Chrysler 300 pull out of the parking lot so that I would get to wonder what happened after that up until now. I wonder sometimes what happened in that relationship, whether they were healthy after that or whether she had to deal with much more than that once she got home. I think that this is a sort of fear that we're all very familiar with lately. This fear that's hard to name, it's hard to pin down, but it's a fear that's lurking around in the back of our minds. It's waiting for us for whenever we're beginning to question ourselves. This fear is very real, but it is hard to name, and it's something that we need to address, because I think that it would be very, very foolish for us to jump out of this part of our lives, this last 3 months, and think that it wouldn't have some effect on us. This jolt to our systems, these last 15 weeks, are going to say a lot about what happens to us in the future, and if we don't deal with it right now, we're going to be answering for it for days to come. They're going to have an effect on us. Maybe it's physically. Maybe you look at yourself and the last 15 weeks have been just enough time for you to break all of those New Year's resolutions. Maybe it's mentally. If your life has been like me, the last several weeks have been like a roller coaster. You know, so far this year we've had highs. Again, see New Year's, that was a good time. But we've also seen some real lows, and it would be completely fair for us all to say that our psyches are in a bit of overdrive right now. And even spiritually, my spiritual life has been a bit of a roller coaster, and maybe you're like me in that, you know, we've really reached some real highs here. Maybe you've transcended this whole pandemic thing and you're actually realizing a whole new form of faith. Or maybe you're still just kind of gripping onto life and hoping that your spiritual life is intact when you come out the other end. If you're like me, again, you've probably been in both situations in this pandemic. The reality of cause and effect is a timeless truth. It's just something that we know. It's something we can expect. There are causes and there are effects. And there may not be a better visual image of this than our former president, Barack Obama. You can see him as he goes into office. He's this young man full of hope. He's going to change things. He just looks jovial in these pictures. But when you go 8 years later, after everything that he had to go through in office, you see a man that is tired. His hair is gray, his face has wrinkles now, and you're kind of happy for him that he's getting to leave office. But think about what took place during that time while he was there. He had to deal with a war. He was leading a country during a time of war. There was an economic recession. So many different things happened in that 8-year span that the cause of that was that he would come out looking much older, much more worn, to the point where now he just gets to live life outside of the office. The natural effect that comes with the cause that is COVID-19 is fear. And over the next few weeks in this series, Consider the Raven, we are going to be talking specifically about fear. Because if we don't talk about this cause, the effects can be chronic. And this fear isn't just the fear of health issues or financial issues or security in general. It's those fears that are hard to name, those fears that are hard to nail down, the fears that are going to come up, the fear of the unknown, fear of nature. And today we're going to talk about the fear of inadequacy. The fear of your not being enough in the roles that God has placed you in. And I don't know that there's a better story to talk about this with than the story of a man named Saul. Now, there are a few Sauls in the Bible. We're going to talk about King Saul today, and we're going to jump in, and I'm going to give you a little bit of backstory so you know going to the next few weeks about the man that we're talking about. Saul is often overlooked because while his story is incredibly tragic, it may be the most tragic story in the Bible, he's overshadowed by the next king who would be a man after God's own heart, a man named David, a man that you're probably very familiar with. But we don't need to rush past Saul's story because there's a lot to be learned there. You see, when the Israelites, God's people, were clamoring for a king, whenever they were telling God, "We need a king to lead us," there was one man that God chose, and it was Saul. And the way that Saul is described is as a man that God chose to lead his people first, a man that was of such demeanor that he had such a build, he was tall, he was handsome, he was charismatic, that it wasn't even a close race. It wasn't even a close race when God needed a king, he chose Saul. And the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit rushed on Saul and he was able to be a man that men wanted to follow. But the thing about Saul was, there is a truth that happens whenever you're king or president, whenever you're a leader. The thing about Saul was that he knew that he was going to have a successor. Every powerful man has a successor, and this is a fact that Saul couldn't shake. No man lives forever. Saul just had the ability to see the man that God chose next before his reign was over. And so God had chosen him. He had given him a post. He had given him a job to do. But in the back of his mind, he would always be dealing with the fact that David was coming next. This was a fear that consumed Saul. And fear has the ability to consume us. It takes up space in our mind, and it kind of shoves the other important things aside. And it causes us to do very rash and very manic things. And that's exactly the way that we see Saul act once David enters the picture, because he's threatened by this man even when he was a young man who wasn't even at Saul's stature yet. So let me read. I'm going to pick up in 1 Samuel 19, and we see this take place. This is after the David and Goliath story. This is after the Philistines have already been fighting with the Israelites. But we see that it happens again, and David goes and does the right thing. Watch this. "Once more, war broke out, and David went out and fought the Philistines. He struck them with such force that they fled before him. But an evil spirit from the Lord came on Saul as he was sitting in the house with his spear in his hand. While David was playing the lyre, Saul tried to pin him to the wall with a spear. But David eluded him as Saul drove the spear into the wall. That night, David made good on his escape." Now, it's important for us to pause and point out a couple of things about this story, because in typical Old Testament fashion, we could just scan through a few sentences and miss some really big things that are taking place here in this story. First, there are two different battles going on here. First, there's the battle that David engages in to serve and protect God's people, a battle in which God is going with him and he's blessing this project. But the second battle is the one that's raging in Saul's mind, and it's completely void of God's direction, and it led him to this very violent attempt on David's life. There's a truth in the fact that the more we focus on fear, the less of God's direction is going to be in front of us, the less we can focus on the direction that God has given us. And we may find ourselves in a place like Saul where we have a very real purpose. We still have a post. We still have a job to do. It was very probable that Saul could have seen this man coming after him, much like Moses saw Joshua coming, and knowing that there was going to be a man that God had to do the job later, and him still serve well while he was there. But Saul chose not to do this. He chose not to focus on God's direction and to focus much further on the fear. And so let me ask you this as we push forward into this. How many spears has fear caused you to throw recently? It's completely possible that, much like Saul, you have abdicated your position as a father, as a husband, as a mother, as a wife, as a friend, out of the fear in the back of your mind that you can't seem to shake. Since we are currently living in this climate of fear, since it is always on our focus, much like Saul, it would be very natural for us to push those other things aside and begin to focus on that instead. What I want to do today as we continue to look at this is I want to give you a few things to think about, a few areas of our life that we need to be aware of to make sure that we are continuing to serve in our positions the way that God would have us do. The first way that this shows itself is through abuse. Now, don't jump to a domestic violence point of view with abuse, although I will say that's part of abuse definitely comes from a place of fear. But there's abuse of other things that we can see in Saul's life and that are definitely going to pop up in our lives as we begin to embrace the fear that is prevalent right now. There's abuse of your giftings. Now remember, the way that we described Saul from the very beginning, Saul was a very capable man. He was tall, he was handsome, he was charismatic. He was the man for the job, is what the Bible said. God had gifted Saul with the gifts that he needed, with the abilities that he needed to be a man that men wanted to follow. But instead of following through with the job that God had gifted him, with the abilities that he had gifted him, he focused instead on his successor. And because of that, the whole nation suffered. They had a terrible leader for years because he was so focused on David instead of the job that God had given him. Don't let your giftings fall to the side. Don't let the way that you were meant to serve other people fall to the side based on the fear that you're experiencing right now. The next one is very personal for me, the abuse of relationships. I don't know if you're like me, but whenever my anxiety kicks up, I so often end up hurting the people closest to me instead of dealing with that fear like I should be. If your quarantine has been like mine, anxiety peaks and it plummets, and it peaks and it plummets, and when it comes back up, those people, my wife, my friends, are the ones that deal with the worst part of Austin. Don't allow that to take place in your life. Don't abuse those relationships, because that next thing that we can abuse is our position. Again, God gave Saul a position. I've said this 3 times now, but make no mistake, the position that you have in your life has been gifted to you just the same way that God gifted that position of king to Saul. Like I said a moment ago, you are fathers and mothers, your wives and husbands, your friends, and that is a gift from God. Do not abuse those positions just because you are dealing with this lurking fear. We are designed to have more faith than that in our Creator. And I don't want to make that a political statement, wear your mask, don't have faith type of thing. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about something much deeper than that, this fear of inadequacy. This fear that you still have to get your job done at the same rate that you were before quarantine, and who cares if your family suffers, they have to suck it up right now. That is not the position that God has given you to act in that way. You are first supposed to love your friends well. You are first supposed to love your family well. Everything else follows after that. Don't abuse the position God has put you in. The second thing that we see pop up after abuse is codependence. And it's similar in the way that it kind of sabotages our own lives, but it's a little different in that we have hitched our wagons to people. We have so grafted in our stories with other people that we become, you know, nothing really more than a thermostat for what they're actually feeling. And there are two forms of codependence, I think. We see this codependence where we are basing our whole lives off of somebody else very close to us. This is a traditional form of codependence, and your mood and your days flow with how they're doing. But remember, Saul was living in a place of codependence as well. And it wasn't necessarily that way, but he was basing everything that was going on in his life off of how successful David was. And this is very similar to a form of codependence that we experience right now. We are so zoomed in to what's going on in the world around us that our days are fluctuating with the things that people are saying on the news and on social media, so much so that our days are spent retweeting those people and reposting those people. God has gifted you with the ability to discern for yourself through the radical change that Jesus has made in your life. Don't be just a sounding board for other people's opinions and someone else to give them a thumbs up with that. Don't be that dependent on other people. View the world around you and chase that fear that you're feeling right now through that lens that God has given you through His Son. Don't reduce yourself to simply being a retweet because you're afraid to use your voice. It's completely possible that I'm stepping on your toes right now, but that's okay because dealing with fear is uncomfortable. We're never meant to feel numb from this fear and just put our heads down and go to work. These are false comforts that God hasn't afforded us. We have to deal with this fear, and that's exactly what we see in Scripture. God has granted you a position, an esteemed position, and a vital position. So be encouraged, because the fact that you are where you are is because He believes that you are fully capable of dealing with that with the tools that He has given you in Jesus. Before I end, I want to give you this passage that we've been reading out of Luke 12, and this is something that has kind of guided us through this whole series that we have coming up over the next month. It says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body and what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. Do they not sow or reap? Have they not storeroom or barn? Yet God feeds them, and how much more valuable are you than the birds? Do not operate out of fear. Walk knowing that God has provided for you long before that fear was ever in your life. He has better things for you, and He's given you the platform that you have, the position that you have in your life, so that you may serve Him and deal with that fear head on so that you can live the better life." Let me pray for you. Father God, we love you. We know that the fear in our life is very real. The things that are going on are real, and we don't want to make light of that. There are health concerns. There are financial concerns. There's just concerns over the security of our families and our friends, and that's a very real thing. But God, allowing that to lurk in the back of our minds, not even just for this foreseeable future, but it has the potential to do that for much longer than that, God, would be so unhealthy, and it would be unlike us, unlike what we say we believe here at Vertical Church. So I pray that through this community, people would be able to face their fears. They would be able to talk about those things. And we would be able to talk about the things that are bringing anxiety to us in our groups, in our hanger groups, in our table groups, in our small groups. That this would be something that we are on the front end of dealing with before everybody else is having to deal with it after COVID-19 is over. God, give us the courage to handle these things well. And give us the wisdom to know how to treat the world around us in that way, God. I pray that we would be about doing that in our city. We love you and praise you. Amen.